will be running all summer until August 25th. So I hope also that you can come back for other events. Today is our first performance event, and you are now witnessing the third performance of today by Richard Gelt.
Thank you.
Thursday, the exhibition opened, and this room opened with based on the room resonant frequencies. So for me, it's kind of like giving or articulating the characteristics of the room as the sort of baseline, base tone of this installation. And then all of the activations are being recorded and then being fed into the daytime gallery installation program, so it will accumulate over time and basically disrupt the bass tone more and more until August 25th. And Richard has come in and he already did two sets before this one, so this was his third set. And every set is different, even though it is played on the same instrument. And so to me, that was a fascinating sort of character, and it also led to the decision to do four different presentations, because it felt interesting to like show this variation. The one instrument, and then I read.
I moved away from New York City 2 years ago, and I don't live in New York anymore. And since I was coming back, let's maximize, let's get the most out of it. So let's do these as many times as we can. That's a way of like making a good use of the time, and people have different schedules and stuff. But I never done four performances on the same day, and then it's quite enduring, but fun. For this I'm using a Maxim speed patch as an instrument with an accumulation of hundreds of different sounds that I've been crafting and tailoring over the years, and it's something that I use often for performances, but never the same way. They always have different sounds, and I have different ideas and imagination that I put into the work. And so I prepared this for this occasion. It was different than most times, is that I brought in piano and cello and string instruments that were sampled and then treated a little bit, and they were incorporated into the patch. And in all my years that I've been working with sound, I never used samples from musical instruments. So that was that's so interesting to me. And then in the, yes, each performance was completely different than the previous one. It's a variation of the same idea, but the dynamics, the mood of the piece has changed from set to set, without any intention really. It's just like, as a spontaneous situation per se. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I find that aspect of your performance super interesting, that Richard has no control over what material that's being played back. So he's basically in the position of a listener that can turn things off.
Yes, my control is by editing out something I don't like. I turn it off and I allow for something else to come. So, but yes, I mean, I like in my process to always sort of like, in a way, deal with the unknown or a system of discovery somehow, in which I have some control on the work, but not absolute control on the outcome. So it becomes like an interaction in which you have to somehow deal with it and shift and shape it until it becomes something that I'm okay with. So there is that sort of tension with the way I interact with the patch and what's happening. And then, so if something comes out too abrupt or, doesn't really work with what I'm trying or what I'm working with, I have to deal with it and figure out what to do. So I like that about the material, that is not in absolute control of what's playing.
Do you consider the patch an indeterminate composition?
Yeah, in a way. I like one of the greatest contributions of American music is the contributions of John Cage in the music of indeterminacy and chance operations and chance systems. So I have, like many others, used the same things and entertain myself, but playing with it. So it's something that I like to do too. Yeah.
So I have two questions. All right. Sure. One, Daniel said that the mood of the piece is each time is different. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Like, how is this piece different than the last one?
Well, it's a variation. So it's not the same, it's a variation, same idea, but because, the first sound or the first thing that plays can set the tone for what comes next. Or, in some situations I have played everything at once, in others I was more subtle with the amount of sounds that I permitted to manifest in the room. And that definitely changed the dynamics and the mood of the piece. Also the amplitude, I think the very first one was very loud.
Yeah.
And this one was very quiet. So things like that, for me, like the very first sound kind of like set the tone. I mean, how you start and how you end is always what becomes more memorable than what happens in between. So if I start a certain way, and that, kind of I have to roll with it, and that, can go in any direction, right? So then that's something that happens and gets decided in the very moment in which I am doing something with the patch. That makes sense?
Yeah, I just because Daniel said mood, so I was curious about that. But the other question I have for you might be a little bit more difficult, but I've been listening to your work for a while now. And I'm just wondering whether you feel that there's anything happening in relationship to not just how you're working, but also what you're producing, the sounds and where you're grabbing them and how you're manipulating them, whether they've been affected by the mood, by the move and where you are now. Because for me, I'm feeling more of a nature element in the work. I may be projecting that, but I'm just asking.
No, I think you're absolutely right. I think there definitely is a shift in the sensibility things. You kind of have to find a center for what you do, or like place yourself in a way in relationship to where you are, right? And being in New York for almost 30 years, and now being in nature, definitely you're like in a very urban, concrete, lawless city versus being, surrounded by nature and close to the ocean, and
yeah.
Definitely has shifted, a lot of, characteristics in my work.
I do have a question. So I'm really interested in this kind of compressed iterative evening. When you're back in a one-to-one like that, does it make you, are you reevaluating your control, lack of control?
Can you read?
Yeah, so this is, it's like a compressed iterative moment, right, this evening. You're doing piece after piece after piece after piece. So you're gaining knowledge in a really intense way, I'm assuming. And does it change your perspective on control?
No, I'm not really thinking about it. I finish this now and I go into want to do next.
On that note, are you leaving the patch running?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow. That's super interesting. So, wow, okay.
So what happens with this is that if I start the application and I start the patch and I start playing right away, it will sound a certain way. If I leave this running for 2 days and I come back to it and I start playing with it, I think it will sound much better and much more integrated. So the more that it runs, the more that intertwines and the sounds sort of like mesh one another and it creates or it builds more character in a way. So with generative work, I think the more that you build around, the better it sounds. Because it has time to unfold and find a song.
Do you change the parameters? Like when you go back to your studio, will you change?
Usually, if I hear something that I really inspired, or if I felt it didn't work, maybe what I go is I go back to that particular sound within the folder, and I change it, fix it, or get rid of it. But I'm always adding more sounds, and new recordings and new things.
So just cumulative?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, and over the years, getting more and more and more. And often, you know, today I'm using just this patch. Sometimes I use the patch, but then with a table full of gadgets and different materials that are more tactile or hands-on, you know, and tonight I'm just using the patch. So it's never really set in stone what I'm going to do. And that's something I like too, you know, in terms of variation and repetition, changing it and shifting, you know, things like that. Great. Thank you, guys.
And then there's a presentation from the workshop at 8. then there's another composer, DMR, doing the second evening set.
Nice.
Yeah,
great.
Full day.
Yes,
yeah.
I'll try to come to.
And it's all online, the schedule.
Yeah, with
okay.
details of the events and like with sharing the minutes as we receive them. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah,
it's
thank
like,
you.
Like a wash.
Sound
bad.
Yeah. Sound bad.
Here, here, here.
Precursor,
yeah.
But the AI is like that.
that these ideas on steroids,
yeah,
but they spawn in thousands of them.
Right.
You know?
But you can still limit with the AI, you can limit what it scripts, so you can put parameters on it.
Sure, I mean, now you can tell AI to write code, like this is coding, right?
Yeah.
In a way. So AI is a really good language. They don't understand music, they don't understand, but they understand language. The ChatGPT understands language. So I can tell you to write a code.
Yeah.
I say, I need to, can you write me a code that can grab this and do this and do that and do that other thing? And they write it, and then you execute it, you may need some fixes, and you can tell, can you fix this and that? I see videos already where people do that.
Yeah, they're doing it with language. Right.
I just heard my first grant.
I read the statement before that, I remember.
I read a toast for a 50th birthday party with AI. I wrote a grant recently with and got the grant. I don't do it exclusively, you know, but it's a tool. It's an incredible tool. So you write it, and I threw my grant to AI, and it was like, make it better. Make it better in this way. And it just keeps refining it, and you don't have to do the research.
Amazing, yeah, no, it's amazing what you can do with the journey, the images you can make, what people are doing, and you see, you're writing books. It's like a ghostwriter for you.
It really can script from what you start with. I've done so much of them, and some of them are really, really good, but so many of them are just.
But then you're back to chance.
Yeah,
chance, you know, so you're back to cage and
I don't know. I personally haven't found the time to really start doing it, and then the precise work or way to do it. I have in the past. I have been stuck into like these final things, and it was like totally blue and you know, in an OCD kind of way, you like stuck it. And I have talked to friends that are artists that are using it, and they tell me it's addictive.
Yeah.
You start doing it and you get stuck in it, and
it's just
hours and hours and hours a day.
Research.
Yeah.
I mean, all of it, you know, they're all interesting tools. Like, you want to use the rabbit bullets.
The thing is to recognize it as a tool and control it rather than having it control you. And I think that we're going to see a lot of things where it's basically going to be controlling us, not us particularly, but people and artists as well. You know, there's always that thing which I've seen with a lot of young artists where the technology is something that gives some manner.
But that's every computer art, you know, video art, all of it, the tech came, you know, but yes.
Yeah.
And then happily you hit the middle age stage where the tech is no longer sexy and you don't care.
But that's
I think that wave is inevitable as technology.
For me, what I have tried to resolve is that when you make a work of art, let's say you start from A, then you end up in Z, but you go through all the different layers until you get there, right? I feel that with AI, you don't get the A and you get the Z, but you don't get all the middle section. And for me, one of the things that excites me all in art is everything that happens in between.
Right.
So that's the problem that I have. That's what I'm saying. Like,
or figuring out a way to work with AI in your process. So
that
the process becomes part of what you're doing.
Right.
Exactly. That's why I haven't figured it out
yet. Yeah. I don't even know that I would.
And the way it seems like it's almost like the key on the outfit. You know? It's like, and she's like.
But it's only as smart as humans, you know? I mean, there's no singularity. There's no work. And so,
but if it's making choices that you would not make.
Right, you can then go back and then change the parameters.
Yeah.
So,
sure.
So it's you know, right now it's a really interesting tool.
Yeah.
But again, yeah, we'll see.
We'll see the
guidance.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a really interesting tool that is absolutely shaping people's lives.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I mean,
right.
For example, this couple that, you know, my friend, he's a professional photographer. His wife is a professional writer, editor, and she's terrified.